In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We look at chapter 34, Genesis 34. Now, like what I said to you, in chapter 33, verse 18, Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem. Right, as far as his journey was concerned, God has been on his side to protect him. Right, and so he was able to arrive safely to the city of Shechem. Now you find that in chapter 34, another hard aching experience that Jacob had. Right? Now obviously the grief here was caused by the children. Right? Now you see a change reaction here. Right? Now you find that the problem multiplied, right? And because of two of his children. Yeah? Who were not able to restrain themselves. And it's like it made his journey back to Bethel doubly hard, even more difficult than ever before. Okay? Well, I want to look at verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hevite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. It's like practically by force. Now, we need to understand that people of the world don't talk about moral standard anymore, right? The world has become so corrupt, and you can, basically see that even young children, right, their minds are badly corrupted by the corruptions and by the evil deeds that are in the world, right, today. So, you find that the danger of mixing or mingling or hanging out with people is getting, higher and higher. The danger is there. So, again, our advice to our youngsters of the church is, you need to keep yourself, okay? Now, your friends, your best friend, again, we say your best friend must come from the church. If you cannot find a friend in the church, you only hang out with people outside, sooner or later, you will be destroyed by them. Right? Now, I think in the church, there are cases also similar to this. There are not many, as far as I know. Right? Now, who is to blame? Right? Obviously, the Gentiles must face up to the punishment or whatever, but we also feel that it's the sisters in the church, are to be blamed as well. And I heard about cases similar to this. To be honest, it's not that God does not want to protect us. I think sometimes we show no respect to God. No respect to the elderly. So no respect to the word. We do what we want. Very, very what? Very loose, very unrestrained, and very undisciplined. But, again, I said, if we do this, then we have to suffer the consequence. We have to bear up with, the choice of our actions. What? Okay, now, so, I think if you read too much in too much of the, the love story of, I think even some of the literatures, you do it in high school, they're really bad for your mind. I actually spoke to one of the teachers. She is a member of the church. I think she teaches English. And she told me all this. It's bad for the high school if you do literature. Corrupt your mind. It talks about love. Not just, love. Actually, it goes into detail. Yeah. That's why, some of the magazine, I don't know, I've never read them before, sometimes you walk past the counter, you go Tesco or whatever, you saw what Harlow, what. You don't even know what they are. Do you not know Hello magazine? Hello, hello. What is that?
Black, blue, green, yellow.
What's that kind of thing? Why? Now, Christian, all right? Christian, there's no need for you to follow all this so-called superstar, you know, how to make yourself look very beautiful, outstanding, you know. You know, this is a generation of obsession with body image. You know, if guy is not big, he's not presentable, he's like him. So, either. The pump up the muscle. I'm not talking about you. Hey, guy. He's a good guy, okay, I'm telling you. The whole church can testify to that. I have no reservation to say that he's a good brother. Don't disturb him. Leave him alone. Harry goes. Is that not true? No, see. Okay. You see, you people, yeah. You. Where am I now? Big muscle. Okay. This is a generation of body image. Everyone talks about body image. You know this swimmer? This, what is that? Because her nose is not presentable enough. People talk about her. You know the Olympic what? Swimmer. Yeah, I know. Don't mention the name. Yeah, she cried. Talk about her. Are you? And what? She changed the shape of the nose, isn't it so? Oh. I think it's yeah, I think the world today is like, you know, is telling everyone that you need to change your shape, you need to change everything. It's like what God has given to you is not good. You need to be chiseled, your nose is not. You know, put something in to make it work, to make it look nice. Everyone is so willing, pay thousands and thousands of pounds just to come under the surgical knife. I cannot understand. Just to look nice. Right? Body obsessions. Body image. And I don't think this is necessary for Christians. All right. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't brush yourself, you don't clean yourself, whatever. You just wake up and you go to work. Yeah. I'm not saying that. Okay? Everything must be done in moderation. You get what I'm saying? Make yourself presentable. That's enough. You don't have to follow these people. They're crazy people. Okay, now we come back. Right now, you find that here he said his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. Right now, he has violated her already. How can he love her? How can he be kind to her? Okay. Now, so Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." Now, you can imagine when Jacob heard about this, obviously he was very sad. That's why the Bible says he held his peace until the brothers came back in from the field. Alright? So they started talking about this issue and how and see how they could resolve it. Now look at verse 7. Yeah? And the son of Jacob came in from the field. When they heard it, the men were grieved and very angry because he had done disgraceful things in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. Now, look at the verse 7. They were grieved, very angry. What? Grief, very angry. You understand what I'm saying? Can you see the change reaction from one person to the whole family and then to the whole city? So again, yeah, brothers and sisters, we need to be very cautious. We have been given the truth. We have been taught how to conduct ourselves, how to behave ourselves, right? Especially when we are by ourselves. You can turn a deaf ear to the advice of the scriptures, but the reality is you have to face up with the consequences. Now I want you to read Ecclesiastes. Now please turn to Ecclesiastes. We read chapter 11. Please look at verse 9 and verse 10, yeah? Now rejoice, O young men, in your youth, and let your hearts cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all this God will bring you into judgment. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart. Sorrow here refers to what? To vexation. Okay, from your heart, and put away evil, a prime of life, and from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Right, now this is a very... good advice given to the young people. Right? Now you can choose to do what you want. You want to go to nightclub, you want to dance like a monkey, no problem. You can. You know, no problem, seriously. You people enjoy watching people dance like monkeys. Right? No. But the Bible says God will bring us into judgment. Right? Bring us into judgment. And what shall we do then? Put away evil from our flesh. That should be the way for us. Now, why are you here today? Okay. Now, why does the church organize so much seminars for you guys to help you put away evil from your flesh? Okay. So that you can grow up as soldiers of God, yeah, and worthy to serve. Yeah? When I say what I'm saying. Okay? You don't come here just to catch up with one another. Oh, I have not seen you for so long, so let's come here and enjoy and chat with you. No. Right? So remember this, yeah? These are good verses. Okay, you should bear in mind. Okay, now we come back to Genesis chapter 34. Okay, now obviously, the two sons of Jacob, Levi and Simeon, you know, they are brothers, yeah? We said blood brothers are to dinner, okay? It's not half brothers, but we said full brothers, okay? From the same father, from the same mother, okay? Now, yeah, so they came out with a plot. Right? Now I want you to read verse 13. But the son of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father and spoke what? Deceitfully, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. Okay, now the Bible used the word deceitfully, right? Meaning the two sons of Jacob were not honest, they were very deceitful in a way. In their dealing with people. Alright? Now again, you find that, yeah, it's quite unimaginable that this could occur in the household of the Lord. But when you look at the church, you also find deceitful believers. Is it also? Yeah? Who are not honest, who are not truthful, you know. And again, that caused a lot of grief and problems to the church. So they came up with an idea, you know, saying to them that no problem, if you want to marry our sister, But there's one condition that you must fulfill. And what is that condition? You must circumcise all the males in the city. All of them. All of them. Right? It's like, you know, oh, we are going to accept you, no problem. We're going to accept you. And obviously this guy is a bit, Shikam, I'm saying. Shikam is like, he was deceived by the two sons of Jacob. Now I want you to read and see what Hamor and Shikam said. Alright, now verse 20. And Hamor and Shikam his son came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, "These men are at peace with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and tread in it. For indeed the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wife, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised." Okay. It seems this is a condition attached. Actually, it's a way by which they got rid of all these Shikamites. Right? I want you to read verse 25, yeah? Let's see what it did. "Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males." I tell you, it's beyond description. I don't know how to describe this.
No, so you find that even within the household of God, so the children of Jacob were quite reckless, brutal, right? And they show the traits and the characteristics of those who do not know God, right?
And we say the world is full of brutality, you know. Killing happens everywhere. But when you look at the household of God, basically in those days, it's the same. There isn't much difference, to be honest about it. So they kill all of them practically. Now, you see what they did, yeah? And they killed Hamor and Shikam, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The son of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister has been defiled. You know, obviously, you know, the defilement caused on Dinah was a very serious one. But the two brothers actually magnified, right? And they made use of that situation to destroy a city. And it goes to show what is inside the person. Okay, now, let me just see this. Yeah? The problem is here. The defilement on Dinah. Okay? Now, we said the wrong is where? Shikam. But as far as we are concerned, Shikam. And as far as we are concerned, Dinah is partly to be blamed. Dinah is to be blamed. This. Okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is this whole epistle in itself, okay, is a serious violation. Yes. Okay? Now, you find that because of this, it magnified the wickedness of the son of Jacob. Yes, this is very evil. This is very wicked. But you find that what they had done is 100 times more wicked than this. You understand? Right? Now, it seems that through this thing here, okay, it actually surfaced what was in the heart of the children of Jacob.
Okay, you can say they were provoked. They were provoked. Right? They were very angry. But again, this incident actually surfaced what was in the hearts of the children. Now, my point of bringing this is that sometimes in the church, right? I want to draw a parallel to this, okay? Sometimes you may see unfairness, so-called unfair treatment in the church, okay? Yes, some leaders might have done wrong. I don't mean anything. Okay. But some people make use of the situation, right, to attack the church and to condemn the church. You find that the sin here committed is 100 times more serious than? Okay. You understand what I'm saying? You know where I'm coming from? Okay. Right? Now, the church may not be perfect, but sometimes this kind of thing actually exposes what is inside the person. That's the situation. It's all sad. It's corrupt. Utter corruption. So that's what we've been saying. when you think about the first day that you begin to understand the Word of God, you were told to cultivate yourself. You know, when I was younger, I didn't understand why cultivate myself. Why do I need to pray every day? Why? For what? And now, I fully understand how important it is. If the self is well controlled, even in the most difficult of circumstances, yeah, you will not turn that into an opportunity. What? Yeah, to get back at others. Yeah. You won't do that. But sometimes when you look at the church, yeah, because some people are not happy with the church, obviously the church is not perfect. And they go around, attacking the church, you know, blah, 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 blah. What does it tell us about? This person is wicked. It's much more wicked than those whom he criticizes. Is it not true? You see this happen in the church everywhere. But again, for you, we learn to work, control ourselves. Control ourselves. Okay. This is the trick of Satan, I'm telling you, the trick of Satan. You know, like what I've said to you, the church is our mother. Who are we to condemn our mother? Do we have the right to condemn mother? No. Even your physical mom, your biological mother, is not nice to you. You won't condemn her, will you? Unless you have. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, now we come back. Now, look at the reaction from Jacob and see what he said about the work of the two sons. Look at verse 30. 3-0. Now read verse 30. 3-0. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious amongst the inhabitants of the land, amongst the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I'm few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I." Can you see how serious the problem has become? It's like a spiral out of control now. It's beyond control. And Jacob knew it. Jacob knew it in his mind. Who caused it?
the children of Jacob. Right, now I want you to see how he described these two children before he died. I want to read the last part of the Genesis. Okay, I want you to read chapter 49. This is what he said before he died, what Jacob said before he died. Right, now I want you to read verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers, instruments of cruelty, or instruments of violence. Yeah? Are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to the assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Instead of blessing, what did Jacob do? He cursed. Verse 7. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I'll divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Meaning, these people cannot live together. They must be scattered. They must be dispersed. Even the father, before he died, he knew. If this group of people were to live together, finish, Israel will be destroyed by them. So sad. Now, so from a harmless action, yeah, of dinner, because she hanged out with the daughters of the Canaanite, and that sparked on a change reaction. And so much people got involved. So many people got involved. So many people were killed. Yeah. Quite unbelievable. So, remember this. We are children of God. Our identity is different from others. Our status. Okay, any question before I move on to chapter 35? The father described them as being... self-will, cruel, and violent. Are you violent? Have you ever engaged in a physical fight with your whatever? To your friend, whatever. Maybe when you were younger, yeah. What about now, like last year? Did you ever fight? I mean, engage in a fight? Michael, yeah. How did you fight? Good. You're good. You know, certain nature of a person is hidden, is within. Right? It's kept, but sometimes, occasionally, it comes to the, fore. Like when you speak to your sibling, when you speak to the members of the family, when you talk to your parents, sometimes you see that it surfaces. Because you're not happy, you're not pleased. That is what? Something, how can you say? Something, reflection. Evil. Yeah, it's kept within.
That's why it is important for us to understand we have to be regulated by the Word of God. And God's Word must take control over our heart, so that we can, the nature of the person within can be changed. We all hope that, you know, this younger generation can be a God-fearing generation. That is the hope and prayer of the church, the older generation. We want you to grow up to be God-fearing, to be, you know, to be good people. That's good. Okay? Now, if you have the heart to change, then God will help you change. So again we said, you know, the church wants to see a marked change in your behavior and your character after you have gone through first year of YTDC. Okay. Right, we come back now, chapter 35. Now then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau." Now, again, I said, look at Jacob again. Back to Jacob, yeah? Sometimes people, you know. Okay, you have mentioned the two problems. The major problem you resolve now is the third. Third one is what? How to overcome. How to overcome whatever you call it, the ambush or the onslaught of the Canaanite. Right? That is it. Chapter 35.
Now, I want to read there. Now, and Jacob said to his house, I want to read, first read verse 5. And the journey and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the son of Jacob. Alright? Now, you find that actually the Canaanite wanted to kill them, they gang up. Just like what Jacob said in chapter 34, verse 30. They wanted to kill them. Yeah. Now, because of the terror of the Lord, the Bible said they did not pursue them. Okay? Now, you know, when you need to understand, I think 35 also is a very important chapter. When you see that, right, Jacob's family was in trouble. Now, how did he resolve the problem? Now, he heeded the advice of God. Right? He listened to the voice of God that he would travel to the place where God has asked him to go. Okay. Now, I had to look at verse 2, what he did. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are amongst you." Now, three things that he asked the family to do. Class, this is a very important point. Eh? Very important point.
You might be tested on this. I don't know. Okay, now, three things that Jacob asked in chapter 35. Jacob instructed instructed his family to do. Number one is what? Put away foreign gods. Yeah. Number two, what is that?
purify themselves?
What's the last thing? Change their garments, huh?
Okay. These are the three things that Jacob asked the household, his family to do. Now, foreign gods, yeah? Now, meaning idols, stuff like that. Right? Now, I think we have read on the Sabbath, chapter 81 of Psalms, that sometimes God did not subdue the enemies of his people precisely because they kept in possession the idols, or kept idols in their possessions. You understand what I'm saying? That's why God did not want to help them. Right? Now, so for God to help them, they must remove idols. Yeah? And this applies to us today as well. So if we want God to help us to overcome problems in life, then we have to, what? Remove all idols from the heart. Yeah. Then you will see that God will begin to work. Right. Now, the next thing is what? Purify yourself. Purify, obviously, is from the heart. Yeah? The heart must be cleansed as well. Right? Must be cleansed. You know, sometimes our minds, our thoughts, you know, are not clean before God. That's why we need, you know, God's help. Right? Now, the next thing is what? Change your garment. Change your behavior. Now, garments represent behavior. Right? Behavior. Okay, after that, yeah? Then let us arise, verse 3, then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So you find that he made an altar, and he prayed to God. Yeah? He prayed to God. Right? Now, so God helped him. Right? Now, so, now for God to function, there are quite a few things we need to understand. On the part of Jacob, he must follow the command of the Lord. Yeah? And he must also instruct himself and the family to what? To be right with God. Yeah? To right their relationship. Yeah? To remove idols, to what? What's the next one? To sanctify themselves, you know, and then to change their conduct. Right? And that God's, you know, power was shown as a result. Okay, now, just before we end,
I want you to do is the sign of the council. You're saying to me that you people have to do a sign and put it. I have to give you the sign. The sign? Now, simple assignment. I have given everything to you already. Yeah. Now I want you to whatever you call it, the table. Yes. I know it's table. Okay. Now what you have to do is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to list down all the things that what Abraham did is also done by Isaac, done by Jacob. List down all the similarities. Yeah. So when do you want it to be handed in? Yeah? Okay. Whatever. You understand the question? Like, Abraham built an altar, Isaac also built an altar, and Jacob also. List down all the verses. Yeah, obviously you have to write, like here, altar,
Is that clear? Any questions? We move on. Okay, come back to chapter 35, yeah? Okay. Now, so verse 7, he built an altar, okay? Jacob built an altar. Now, in this chapter itself, yeah? There are two cases of bereavement, right? Now, it's like, you know, death is inevitable. Everyone dies, whether you like it or not. Now, here is the first case of bereavement in the family of Jacob. Now, I want you to read verse 8, yeah? Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth trees. So the name of it was called, what? Aaron Bashan. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. God blessed him. Now, what he has done, you find that, yeah, was blessed by God. And despite all that happened to the family. Okay? Now, and not only that, God also appeared to him that, you know, and said to Jacob that, you know, I'm God Almighty. Now, did God mention to Abraham that he was the God Almighty? Did he mention that? Yeah? Did he mention to Isaac? Did he mention to Isaac? Did he mention? No? Did he mention? All right, you read chapter 28, yeah? Verse 3. Who mentioned this? It's Isaac, isn't it? So he must have known about this. So these are similarities. You understand what I'm saying? I've given the answer to you already. You get what I'm saying? Okay? Alright, come back to chapter 35. Now, in verse 13 it said, then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, okay? It's like, you know, God, you know, withdrew himself from Jacob, okay? Now, from verse 16 onwards, another bereavement occurred in the family. Rachel died. We read verse 19, while she was given birth to who? To Benjamin. And so she died. Now verse 19, so Rachel died and was buried on the way of Ephrah. That is Bethlehem. Right? So died. Two bereavements in the family. Okay. I think this is the story about Jacob. Okay. He says something. Amen. Now, so when we come back, what I'm going to do is we finish chapter 35, 36, but I will not touch 37. I want to finish chapter 38 first. Okay, so tomorrow we can start with the story of Joseph.